I'll be brief this morning. You can be seated. I just want to simply say the Holy Spirit is a mandatory thing. Amen? The Holy Spirit's not an optional thing. It's a mandatory thing. I want to tell you why for the next few minutes this morning. I want you guys to look with me in your Bibles. We just looked at two passages with Brother Dave, but in Acts 7:55, I just circled it as you were talking. But it said, "And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." And then in the second reference in Acts 9, it's 17, verse 17, in the last part of that, Ananias came in to talk to Brother Saul and appeared that he would receive sight, comma, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You see that?
Yeah.
And then, just like the word suddenly in 18, it says, and immediately. That's how the Holy Spirit comes. It's like the wind. Amen? You can't put your finger on it. You can't program it. You can't control it. It's not anything else, but it's God. And when he wants to move, he'll move. And if he can find a heart that's hungering for him, he will do unbelievable things. I want you to turn to the book of John real quickly this morning. How many people love the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. John 16, rather, verse 13. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
"Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you." Everybody say, "He will guide you."
He will guide you.
"Into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But God's saying in this passage, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you. How many want to be guided by the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Jesus is saying, it's so important that I leave. Because when I leave, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And the Comforter will guide you from now on. The Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, will guide you from here on out. So we need the Holy Spirit, and he's just a mandatory. He's the teacher. He says he doesn't speak of himself. He only points you to Jesus Christ. And I think for so many years we've been leery about this Holy Spirit. I'm sure in Northeast Nebraska the same way we have been. And so we can possibly grieve the Holy Spirit. How many people know that redemption is not the end, it's the beginning? It's absolutely the beginning. So we've got to get back. Redemption puts us back in line with the purposes of God and the conformity to Jesus Christ. But we can go on. We can move on. "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." How many people want to move into truth and not error?
Amen.
It says all truth. That means the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. So our education then needs to be, as a new creature, is to know Christ. And if we only know him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, if we only know him as that, if we only know him as Redeemer, 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 and we never move beyond that to where Jesus becomes the baptizer and the Holy Spirit for every single one of us, we've sold the gospel short, right? So we need to not only believe Jesus as our Redeemer, but he is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. How many people know that?
Amen.
He's promised the Comforter. We just read that he promises the Comforter, that as soon as his ascension and glorification, he's going to send down the power for you to walk this Christian life. Now the disciples, they already had Jesus, right? They had Jesus, but Jesus said, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with a power from on high." In other words, this power doesn't come from any other place. It comes from Jesus Christ, and it comes from on high. And as soon as Jesus sat down at the right hand, he sent the power down on the day of Pentecost to the first church, and that church began to move in a power surge that they had never had before in their entire life. Amen? It was the glory, it was the power, it was the unction, it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that began to move and propel and touch the hearts of lives, and people were being pricked in their heart, as you just read it, by a power that had nothing to do with man at all, nothing to do with human organization, but everything to do with the Comforter that God was going to send down from heaven. So we have to be saved, but then we have to move into sanctification. Amen. Okay? Sanctification is impossible without the power of the working Holy Spirit within you, right? And sanctification is preparing us for another step called glorification. When someday everything we do and say is going to slip up into heaven, we're going to be glorified, we're going to be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to go up to meet Jesus. But in that time from redemption or salvation to glorification, which is going to happen at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the rapture of the church, which I believe is soon and very soon, there is this period of sanctification, and we need the Holy Spirit to be our spiritual teacher the entirety of the way. Now, this can't be taught in a seminary. It has to be taught by the one who lives inside of you. It has to be taught by God. You can't learn this by going to school and getting an academic education. You have to get it by Jesus. He's got to reveal Christ through in you and through you. In Acts 1:8, it says, "You shall be witnesses after the Holy Ghost has come upon you," right? After. And the word witness there, if you want to put that up on the board, this is an interesting passage, Acts 1:8. It says, you'll be a witness. The word witness there means martyr. In other words, this Holy Spirit power, after it comes upon you, will grip you in such a way it'll make you just like the original apostles and the disciples in the fact that you'll want to live your life. That word witness right here, you look it up in the Greek, and it says martyr. It says, I will literally lay down my life, I will give my heart and life to the work of Jesus Christ until I am dead. And we see that in the beginning of the disciples, don't we? How many of them gave their life for Christ? Every one of them. And John on the Isle of Patmos was just the one that outlived them all. Amen. The Bible says it in Galatians 1:5, it pleases God to reveal His Son in me. But church, to reveal Christ in you, it has to be by the Holy Ghost, right? So if I say how, you say Holy Ghost, okay? How is God going to save people? By the Holy Ghost. How is God going to fill people? By the
Holy Ghost.
How is God going to sanctify people then? By the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we need the Holy Ghost, and He's the how of how this happens. We need the Holy Ghost moving and operating in our life. And it's a second subsequent work after salvation. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen in this place.
Amen.
God has to bring us to that place where we understand that Christ can take us further and farther than we've ever gone before.
Yeah.
We have to be the vessel through whom God can reveal His Son. And that we must be filled with the Holy Spirit so He can live and do the things that He would want to do in us.
Yep.
Right now. But He is if we're full of the Holy Spirit. Then we have to be led of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting that Israel was led by the cloud. By night, by the cloud of fire by night, and a cloud by day. Pillar of cloud of fire by night. And Jesus was led of the Spirit. Luke 4:1 says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." We have to be led of the Spirit, every single one of us. I want to tell you why, so I'll just cut to the chase. I want you guys to know that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. How many people know that He's a person and He can be grieved? I want to give you some scripture. You don't have to follow me, but trust that this is in the Word. This is how we can grieve. Number one, He's a dove. Holy Spirit is just like a dove. When Noah let that dove out on the ark, way back in the day, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, he went up into the air, and he was looking for a place to land. He flew over every one of the prophets in your Bible, and he was still looking. He finally lighted and landed in the River Jordan. All those years later, and he landed on one who was called the Son of God.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit dove rested on him. Came down bodily and rested on Jesus Christ in the River Jordan. And it says that Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And from that moment forward, His earthly ministry began. by the empowerment of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Church, if Jesus needed the Spirit, if the disciples had to wait upon God for the Spirit, if Israel needed the Spirit, the cloud, and the witness, then how much more do we need it today? And I want to say the Spirit's mandatory today. Amen?
Amen.
He can be grieved, Ephesians 4:30. He can be blasphemed. You've probably heard blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's Matthew 12:31. He can be insulted by insulting the Spirit of grace, Hebrews 10:29. He can be lied to. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They said that they gave all, but they only gave half of what they really said. They lied to the Holy Spirit of truth in Acts 5:3. He can be resisted in Acts 7:51. It says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, how long will you resist the Holy Spirit? The Jews didn't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit, and they negated Jesus as well. And God took his hand off him and started to deal with us Gentiles. Amen? Thank God. But church, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We can do this by resisting the message of the Holy Spirit and rejecting the messengers that preach the Holy Spirit under the anointing. Amen? But church, we don't want to do that either. There was a church called Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, and they had resisted the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Revelation 3, verse 15. And in Revelation 3, 15, it says, I know your works, Laodicea. You're neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert hot or cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, I'm in 16, and neither hot or cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because you say I am rich. Now this is the American church. This is Western Christianity. I'm increased with goods. I don't have any needs of anything. How many of you folks just have everything you could ever need? I mean, really. We've gotten to the point where we've got insurance. We've got this. We've got, if anything goes bad, we've got it figured out. We don't have any need. We can go to the hospital. We can go to ICU. We can go to this. We can go to daycare, this care, this care. We've got every insurance, but do we have assurance that when we go, when we meet, when we cross over, we're going to heaven? And he's saying this. He's saying, thou knowest that, don't you know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind? In other words, they couldn't see anymore. They didn't have the vision. They weren't visionaries anymore. They had gone to the place. I mean, think about it. In salvation and in redemption, God opens the eyes of the blind. He causes the lame to walk. He allows people to be able to see for the first time in their life. Scales fall off, right? That's exactly what happened with Saul. He was blinded for 3 days, and now all of a sudden he can see. He can live. He can walk and move and have his being as the Holy Spirit. As he gets full of this Holy Spirit, becomes a power to his walk and to his life. And now he has vision. And now he can see, but this church had lost vision. They had lost the ability to have a heart for the lost. They didn't care anymore. They were living for themselves. They were increased with goods. And now they didn't have one big screen TV. They had three big screen TVs. And they had a beautiful yard and landscaping, and bobcats had moved in and everywhere else. And I tell you what, they had it all. And they had all the equipment you could ever want. All the unbelievable equipment. It was green and it was, anyway. I won't go there. But God was saying, no, you're blind and you think you're covered and cloaked in righteousness, but you're naked. And in 18, he says, I counsel thee, this is the counsel of God, to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That means the trials and the distresses that produce the holiness that Christ is looking for, that thou mayest be rich and have white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doesn't appear, and anoint your eyes. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. In other words, you've gone blind on me. Church, come back into focus. We need to clean the glasses off. I'm about ready to take your glasses off and clean them for you right now.
They need it.
They're all smeared up. They can't see anymore. Church, this is what we need. We need some eye salve to heal the eyes. And Christ is praying for the Laodicean church hour and saying, God, open your eyes, that you would see the blindness of your own heart, and that thou mayest see. He wants the church to see again. He wants the church to see the heavenly vision. Paul said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Amen. I followed Jesus Christ. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I took the word of God seriously. I followed after Christ, and he made me what I am today. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. Didn't he say that? And church, every single one of us, we have to have the power of God living in our hearts and in our lives. The Spirit is mandatory. Amen?
Amen.
It's mandatory. We need it every hour, every second of every moment of every day to walk in Jesus. And I want to be honest with you. The moment Aaron Trimble doesn't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the moment that he becomes a mortal man. The cape comes off. And I want to say it happens. When you don't have the banner of the Holy Spirit, and when you neglect prayer in the closet, and when you get busy doing whatever you're doing that makes you so busy, all of a sudden it's so subtle. The Holy Spirit's a dove. He's a gentleman. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And all of a sudden you think you still have the power, and you can still do the mighty exploits that you once did. And all of a sudden you want to shake yourself like Samson did. But the power's not there, because your head's in the lap of a Delilah in this world. You understand? Something that's stealing the consecration and the power of the Almighty God has just slipped off. And now you go to pray and you don't feel anything. And now you understand. You can get further and further and further away, and you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Genesis, the book of Genesis says the Holy Spirit will not always strive with man. In other words, he's not going to leave us, but we can walk away from him. Amen? Church, we don't want to do this in this hour. The admonition to the church was to repent and to come back to Christ. And in verse 21, Jesus is standing at the door knocking outside of the church of the Laodiceans. In other words, they're still grouping together and trooping together. But they were doing it outside of Christ. They were doing it outside of the Holy Spirit. They were doing it in name only. But 21, it says, to him that overcomes. Right. Church, we've got to be overcomers in this hour. We've got to be visionaries in this hour. He gives vision. He gives sight. He gives life. He gives light. He gives hope. And without a vision, the people perish. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to the church right here for just a second. If you don't get a vision for Jesus Christ, people will die and go to hell. If you don't have a vision that you begin to step out and move in what God gave you, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's not just for Saul or Paul. That's for Tom Inman today. Do you understand that? If we don't get a vision for the youth, if we don't get a vision for the children's work or Awana or Royal Family Kids Camp or any other, if we don't have a vision for worship, if we don't have a vision to reach the streets and the communities and the peoples of this town, without a vision, the people do what? So if the church is blind and they don't have any vision and they're poor, miserable, blind, wretched, and naked, you know what happens? People are perishing. They're perishing for lack of
knowledge.
They don't know the truth which could set them free. Amen. And we can't know that the church can't know truth only by the Holy Ghost, which was sent to show us Jesus, which doesn't speak of himself. He only points us to one thing and one thing alone, and it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all day long. So the more you have of the Holy Spirit, the more you're going to point to Jesus, the more you're going to be conformed into his image from glory to glory every day, every hour, every minute that you spend with him. And I want to tell you that he's a good God, and he wants time with you. This is what I feel when I spend time with God, when I actually give God the time of day. And I've got to say it that way to give you guys an understanding of what I'm talking about, even as a pastor. When I give God the time of day, I feel the Holy Spirit. I came into this room last night, been busy, busy, busy. You understand that? And I know you guys are too. I know you are too. But I gave God the time of day. The Holy Spirit just came and filled me 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 and filled me. I believe I laid right here on the ground, and the Holy Spirit just kept touching me and touching me, and he would have kept touching me as long as I would have given myself to stay there. You understand? That he is more than able and willing to meet you right where you're at in your heart and in your life, and to flood you with joy and peace and hope and encouragement and power that we need every hour of every day. Amen?
Amen.
That's a God that loves you. He wants to give you a victory from the risen Christ. And he said the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, I wonder what spirit that is.
Is going to
lift you and quicken your mortal bodies. Amen. And you'll be alive from the dead by the power of this grace and this resurrection power. And it'll come upon you, and you'll begin to walk through this world with an absolute confidence, victory. And as you stretch forth your hand, Look at my hand. You see this callus? My little girl looked at this hand the other day. She said, Daddy, that looks like Jesus' hand. But the Bible says that if we'll stretch forth our hands to this community out here, to the people around us, by stretching forth thy hand to heal a broken community, a broken heart, a broken people, a broken life. Those kids at Royal Family, you understand what I'm saying? By stretching forth, if we will, church, just grab your hand and stretch it out there. Stretch it out beyond limit and begin to reach the peoples. Amen? That the Holy Spirit will come and flood you and fill you with rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit. As he sees you giving of yourself to do this, Christ will meet the need of our communities. He'll meet the need of your families. He'll meet the need of the people that do know Jesus or don't know Jesus. He'll bring people to redemption, and then he'll bring people to sanctification, and then he'll bring us to glorification. And I want to close with one scripture today. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians verse 4, and we'll close today. 1 When I say, where are you going to be when the trump sounds, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. Okay? I want you to know that. He's stolen all the media, but don't get distracted. There's something bigger that's coming, okay? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. You know the rest of the lyrics, sister? And the glory of his resurrection share. When the saved on earth shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Thanks for putting that as one of our songs today. Amen. Church, there's something that's about to happen, and you've got to hear it. You've got to hear it from this pulpit, and I pray every other pulpit. There's about to come a sound from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 4:16. Praise God. Now I'm not talking about the Laodicean church. I'm talking about Family Worship Center. Amen? I'm not talking about Israel that died in the wilderness and never reached the promised land. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about Demas who hath forsaken me, who used to work with Paul. I'm not talking about Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife who looked back at this earth. And you know, here's the funny thing. I wouldn't look at the backyard. I knew he worked till dusk on my backyard. And because that's such a weak spot for me, landscaping and grass. I walked around the farm this morning like this with blinders on because I wasn't going to give my heart to look at my backyard. Because that can become an idol. I'll look at it after this. I'm just being honest with you. You guys want a pastor that's totally honest with you?
Amen.
Well, dear God. Now look at this. We're not the Galatian church that was bewitched. We're not the Corinthian church that was divided. We're not the Thyatira. Okay, I could go on and on and on. We want to be a church that reaches God. Amen?
Amen.
Now look at this. For the Lord himself shall descend. There we go. We'll follow on. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. And the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are what?
Alive.
Alive. Church, we've got to have life. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the laws of sin and death. Amen.
Yeah.
In him was life and life was more abundant. Amen. Christ has given us life. Church, you can have life within you. Amen. And it comes from Jesus Christ through the cross and then through the Holy Ghost right into your life to give you the power to overcome every day, every obstacle, every hour of every day. Amen. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord, church. That's a victorious church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Harpizo, that's the rapture, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And in the clouds means that there's going to be a tremendous thing happen in the clouds. There's going to be, Jesus is in the clouds. The host of heaven is in the clouds. The myriad of angels are going to be in the clouds. This could happen tonight, church. Amen. Wake up, church. Amen. Wake up. Wake up. It's high time that we start to see the spiritual realm. This could happen tonight. What we're looking at right here is not a foregone conclusion. It's not a faraway thing. It could happen tonight together with them. Imagine being together with Jesus and all the saints of all time tonight. To meet the Lord in the air, to meet up with Jesus Christ. He's not touching down at this point, but he's coming to grab hold of his church. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Think about the descending judge of all time, Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Think about the angels. Think about the spirits of the dead that are going to come out of the tombs. Think about the loud shout and the descending host. Think about the archangel's trumpet. Think about graves that are bursting open. I don't even think you guys are with me. You say, Aaron, this sounds like Lord of the Rings or something. This is your Bible, okay?
Amen.
This is going to happen. And this could happen tonight, tomorrow, or the next day. The graves are going to burst open and come forth by the millions. People that were entombed are going to step up out, and they're going to go before us. Amen? There's going to be a rapid, sudden, glorious change in the twinkling of an eye, the 20th part of a second. Our bodies are going to be changed. But we're going to have a totally different body. A body that is ready. We're going to slip off this flesh once and for all. We're going to walk in the new glorified bodies. And we're going to be raised up out of this earth and into the clouds to meet Jesus forever, to be with him as he begins the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen, church?
Amen.
That could happen before I get done preaching, church. I want to lift you guys a little bit so that we understand what this is all about. This is not a ho-hum, hum-drum Christianity. My God, this is a lift me up. I'm getting ready to go. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is my inheritance in Jesus Christ. And I want what Christ has for me today. Amen?
Amen.
Do you want what Jesus has for you? Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Then be alive and remain alive unto the coming of the Lord. And we'll be caught away with Jesus Christ. Let your lower lights be burning. Amen? Let there be a fire in your belly for the things of God. Whatever it takes, change your priorities, people, and get with the people of God. Amen. Yes. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, but come together all the more as you hear him hit that day approaching. Amen.
Amen.
My God, we're going to be together. We're going to be praising. And guess what? We should move from redemption to sanctification to glorification, because guess what? I'm at the brink of glorification forever. Amen. I'm about to step into the portals of glory where we'll be worshiping and praising God and inhabiting the God that we've been praising down here. Amen. I'm just about a tick of time to stepping into that, and praise God, he's making us ready by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stand to your feet today in the house of God. Stand to your feet today. Hallelujah. Maybe we play Welcome Holy Spirit one more time. Maybe we play When the Trumpet of the Lord Shall Sound and Time Shall Be No More right after that song, okay? But hallelujah, church. Oh God, hallelujah. I'm excited for glory. I'm excited for glory, but I just want to ask this church right now. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Have you invited the Holy Spirit to come deep into your life to bring you from salvation to through sanctification and unto glorification? I want to give you a moment in this church today to just ask God to come deeper into your heart and life right now. The altar is open if you want to use the altar, but right where you're at, every single person this day, welcome the Holy Spirit into your heart in a deeper way. Let him flood you. Ask him to fill you. Ask him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And remember, that's what he wants to do. Dear God.